first one we're going to get into today is teachable. The character quality of one being teachable. Proverbs 9:9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Makes sense. A wise man knows that they need wisdom, that they can never stop growing. My wife and I watch Shark Tank on Friday nights and all that, and we like it. It's very fun. But one of the things that stuck with my mind, that one time Mark Cuban said, owner of the Mavericks, who's one of the investors, he said, "I don't know everything. So what I do, even though I'm the CEO and president, I hire people who do know things I don't know." Why? Because they can educate me and they can make sure we do it the right way. So even a man with billions of dollars who sits and dines with kings and queens and presidents said, "I don't know everything. I need something. I need other people who know more." He's willing to listen and learn. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. So we're going to get right into it. To be teachable, and this is one of those character qualities we want to develop. First thing is humble. Humility leads to being teachable. It is the foundation of a teachable spirit. If you are not a teachable person, you don't have humility. Humility is a stronghold in your life. You have difficulty having humility. Pride becomes preeminent. A teachable spirit is a humble spirit. You're willing to be taught, willing to learn, to be corrected, trained, rebuked, held accountable, etc. This is a teachable spirit, to receive knowledge. I mean, imagine if I were to say to God, "I got it all, Lord, don't need any more. I got it all, Lord, I don't need it. I'm fine." I'm going to have a big problem, because that means I'm not growing anymore. My growth is stunted. And my pride is getting in the way. But here's the other thing. Proverbs 8:13, this is not on your script, on the PowerPoint, so you may want to write this down. Proverbs 8:13 says this, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." And remember in the Bible, when they talk about the fear of the Lord, it's about reverence, that highly esteemed reverence for God, that you're in awe of who He is in His full glory and majesty. So the awe, the reverence of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. You see that? You hear that? He says pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth the Lord hates. So God hates pride. Why? Because it shuts me down from receiving what He wants to pour into me. How does that work? Well, you know what pride says? Pride says I can't be vulnerable. Because, you know, when I'm being prayed over and the Holy Spirit's moving, and for me to allow Him to flow, I have to be vulnerable. But fear and insecurity gets in the way, and my pride says, no, clam up. The Lord wants to pour something into me. Lord might be speaking through you to pour something into me. But my pride says no. See, a lot of times we think of pride as just saying, here, talk to the hand kind of thing. But sometimes pride says, I won't do this. I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to flow in such a way. Lord is pouring into me, and He wants me to raise my hands to receive more, or He wants me to get on my knees. Nope. What will others think? That's pride. What will others think? How will others react? Pride gets in the way of not only being taught by God, but being taught by the person sitting next to me. That's why I love our HD groups, because I don't know it all. And I've learned so much from those in our group who, Lord, reveals different things to them. It's awesome, because I don't have all the wisdom. Just because I have a title doesn't mean I'm smart. I only know what God reveals to me if I let Him reveal it to me. I love that fact that everyone can be taught and we learn together. And I am teachable. Proverbs 3, 5 and 8 says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes." That's pride. "Fear the Lord," or have reverence for the Lord, "and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." It's life. Proverbs 2, 1 through 7 says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom." In other words, you're paying attention to what's being said. You're focusing on it. You're not poo-pooing it. You're not ignoring it or saying, "I already know that. I don't need to know that." "And apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure." This is God's wisdom is symbolic of a her here. "Then you will understand the fear or reverence of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. And He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in purity." He stores up wisdom. He has a box of stuff He wants to teach me as I allow Him to teach me. I'm in the perfect classroom if I choose to stay and learn. Humility. I have to confess to you, one thing I've learned about the spirit of pride that gets in the way of humility, at least I know for me, and I'll give you my little testimony here. Anytime my wife begins to correct me about something, and I feel like I start tensing up or the thoughts go through my mind, she doesn't know what she's talking about, I immediately know that's not me, that's the spirit of pride that's trying to come in. And if I take the next level and start going, okay, that means my pride is trying to shut her up and shut her down, not receiving what God has for me through her. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's felt that way and does that when being spoken to, especially in the area of correction or rebuke or something biblical in those manners. I know my humility is where it needs to be when, even if I don't like what I'm hearing, I'm receiving it. I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to take it to prayer. I don't know if you're 100% right about this, but I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to take it to the Lord, and He'll show me. If you're right, you're right. Watch out for pride. It begins being a teachable person, having a teachable spirit. Begins and ends with humility. Pride will always hinder growth. And growth comes in the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God comes to one who's willing to receive. Teachable spirit. Second thing about a teachable spirit is they're a learner. Do you realize we were created with the capacity to learn? Did you know that? We were created with the capacity to learn. In other words, God said, "I'm going to put a memory in your mental hard drive, and this memory has no end." What does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? He will bring into recollection things when you need them, because it's already in there. And the Spirit of truth is coming through you when you allow Him to. And guess what? If I ever feel like I don't have enough memory, He's got a separate memory drive plugged into me that he just pours right into me. But I am created to be a learner. I realize that we are meant to grow in knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom of Christ. We are meant to grow. We're not meant to be stagnant. We're not meant to be limited. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily intellect, because every one of us has strengths and areas. We're talking about what God, what have you for me? Growing in you. How can I be taught in your ways so I can fulfill the destiny you have called me to do the things you've placed on my heart to walk in the steps you have ordered for me, because your word says you order the steps of the righteous. So I want to walk in those steps, but in order to do that, I have to learn how to take each step at a time. I have to grow in these things. And I need to realize I am built with a capacity to learn to do those things. If not, 2 Timothy 2:15 wouldn't say, study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If I wasn't meant to continue growing and learning, he wouldn't tell me to keep studying to show myself approved. He would have said, stop studying, you're already approved. You don't need any more. You know what's awesome? When I'm willing to be taught, God is willing to teach. And every time I open the Word of God, every time I read a passage I've read before, His Holy Spirit, His Spirit in me, brings a new revelation if I'm simply saying, Lord, show me, teach me. That's kind of become a thing I'm trying to do more and more. Every time I sit down to open up the Word of God, before I even start, I say, Lord, show me something new. Teach me something new. Give me a new revelation. Connect a dot for me in some way. Do something. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves instructions loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Stupid if you don't like correction of the knowledge of God. In the knowledge of God. In other words, you're stunting your growth. You're stopping God from fulfilling what He wants to fulfill. And correction and wisdom and knowledge can come in many different places and in all shapes and sizes and in all age groups, and we'll address that in a minute. Acts 17:11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with full readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were true. See, we were created for that curiosity to know more. Curiosity kills a cat. That statement is only true if it's done in selfishness, in pride, in order to get gossip, in those kind of ways. But curiosity to know the heart of God, to know more about God, to do things His way, is a beautiful thing, and that was built within us. I'm curious, Lord, what do you mean by that? Somebody spoke this word over me. Somebody corrected me this way. I didn't feel God, right, God, but would you, I'm curious, is this true? Show me, God. Teach me, God. Help me to know, God. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. In other words, you keep growing. As you grow, you'll make a bigger impact. That your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He gives you. See, we are called to be fruitful. To be fruitful is not a suggestion. If Christ lives in you and His Spirit is alive in me, I have no choice but to seek to be fruitful. Because if I don't and I quit being teachable, I'm shutting down the Holy Spirit within me. Remember what some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, the prophetic, those are all come through a teachable spirit, not a prideful spirit, not somebody who thinks they know it all already. We are called to be fruitful. We cannot be fruitful if we are not nourished and nurtured. If we reject nourishment, we are not going to bear fruit. And His nourishment comes through people, through His Word, through the Holy Spirit, through circumstances. Stay teachable, looking for that from God. We need continual nourishment to be fruitful. I have to stay teachable. I have to keep learning. Why? Let's be practical. If I'm not growing, I can't lead you in your growth. If you in your home groups are not growing, how are you going to minister to your neighbor and lead them into growth? If you're not individually seeking the Lord to grow you personally and then coming together with a smaller or greater body, and willing to be taught, how are you going to nourish and be fruitful? I can't nourish anyone if I'm not allowing myself to be nourished. Another thing about a teachable spirit is, a teachable spirit is one who's kingdom-minded. If you're teachable, you're kingdom-minded. What that means is, what I receive is not for me to hide under a bushel, as the kid's song goes. It's meant to grow the kingdom of God. I am kingdom-minded. I am part of a family or a community that what I learn, I share, and then what is being learned, I receive as it is being shared. We grow together. We recognize, teachable spirit recognizes their kingdom purpose. That it's not just about me. It's not even just about our church. It's about the kingdom of God making a difference in the community. It's about changing the world for Jesus Christ in His Spirit. Mark 3:13 through 15 says, "And he went up on the mountain and called him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and have the power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons." See, what I love about this is this isn't the first time he called the 12 disciples. He actually called the 12 disciples, said, "Hey, come follow me," in chapter 1 and 2 of Mark and earlier. This is now at a later time. He says, "Hey, guys, come over here. Come meet with me." And he had this meeting with them to appoint them. The Greek word for appoint means to make something out of someone. That's what it literally means, to make something out of someone. In other words, they came and were following him and just tagging along up to this point. Now he's saying, "I'm revealing your purpose and I'm about to equip you to be the thing you were meant to be. I'm making something out of you now. You're no longer a bunch of ragtag fishermen and tax collectors. You're no longer a part of my posse, you know, or my clique. You are now my called for a purpose, empowered, anointed disciples that are meant to do something with your life. You might have been heard all your life. You're no good. You can't do this. You're just going to be a fisherman because that's your lot in life. You're not as smart as this person who's a Talmudin or a student of a Pharisee, but guess what? You are, because you are willing to be taught. You are willing to follow me and let me teach you in word and in deed. So now I'm going to take that teachable spirit that's within you, and I'm going to call you and make something out of you. I'm going to give you a purpose. He called his disciples and he appointed them to make someone into something. He's making them that. They were with him. Their purpose was to be with him in order to learn from him and then go in the divine power and extend or continue his work. So he's telling them, now's the time. I'm going to pour into you because you were willing to be poured into and willing to be taught. And I'm going to give you everything I got, and I'm going to pour it into you so that you'll be able to go in my spirit, in my divine power, and continue or extend the work of my kingdom beyond anything imagined. He's appointing them. He's making them into something. And here's what's cool. If you read continue that chapter, verse 16 through 19, that's when he says, "Oh, Peter, Simon, you're now Peter, the rock." He starts giving them clues as what they're supposed to be like. James and John, your sons of thunder. He starts labeling them, giving them purpose even in the names that they're given. And what's cool about that is they weren't sons of thunder yet. Peter wasn't a rock yet. What he was speaking to is their potential. He was speaking to the fullness of God in them, what they are meant to become as long as they stay teachable and stay in his spirit. Exactly the same way with us. He speaks to their destiny. He speaks to our destiny. Being teachable keeps us in that place where we are moving towards our destiny, and God is speaking to our destiny, speaking to us, labeling us, equipping us to move in that destiny. It's kingdom-minded. Kingdom-minded. See, I'm a person who struggled with fear and insecurity and anxiety for so long, and even depression. And what I've come to realize is that's a direct attack on the peace of God in my life. And the Lord has shown me that I'm meant to project his peace. That's part of my called destiny. That in crazy situations, I'm supposed to be like, "Hey, peace be still. Relax, guys. Let's go to prayer. Let's pray. Let's take it to the Lord, seek him." But when I am in that chaotic mode, in fear and anxiety, I'm shutting down. The enemy, that's how he attacks. It's keeping me from being in that teachable frame of mind to receive. So if you're being attacked in certain areas, know that that's the area that's meant to be your strength as you submit it before God. So God will grow it, but the enemy's trying to keep you down, beat you down in it so that you can't grow. Because there's a kingdom purpose to that. There's a kingdom purpose to that area. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." In other words, you stay teachable, and as you are taught, you pass it on. You pass it on. You grow the kingdom of God. But you can't be fruitful if you're not being nourished. Fourth element of being teachable is be open to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the wisdom of God. And in Proverbs 1:20-23, I know it's a little long, but I'll read it quickly. "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity?" Saying, "Hey, I got wisdom. How long will you keep doing this when that's up here is waiting for you?" In the New Testament, Paul says, you know, when are we going to get past the elementary principles and get into the greater things of God, into mature doctrine? Yes, Jesus loves me. That's great. But there needs to move at some point in our knowledge of God from Jesus loved me to this is what it means to be in the love of God as a son and a daughter of God. It's a whole different animal. We move into maturity as we grow. For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called you and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear or reverence of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear or evil. See, what he's saying is, I wanted to give them my wisdom of God, but they rejected it because I knew I wanted to give it to them because there's going to come a time when they're going to need it. So what happens? Oh, we don't need it. We don't want it. Who cares? Oh, here comes the storm. I need it now, Lord. Well, I had it here to teach you, but you rejected me. You rejected me. Remember what I mentioned earlier? The Bible says in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit will bring to recollection, will bring back the words that would need to be spoken when in difficult times, when the struggle comes. Not talking about prophetic words. I'm talking about the Word of God. When we're stressed, when we're struggling, when we're fighting, when we're not in a good place, declaring the Word of God, declaring Scripture that we have been taught is a powerful tool. To memorize a few Scripture, to embrace and embrace it as the Word, the truth of God, you declare it. The enemy has no way he can come against that. The Word of God is the Word of God. The enemy has nothing against that. He can't stop that. And if you're struggling with that, grab a Bible promise book. Keep it in your purse, your car, your pocket, coat pocket, whatever. Because you can always pull out and declare them if you can't remember them and start your training. See, the Holy Spirit is also the source of the prophetic. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the words of God. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are just that. They're gifts and they're embalmed in the wisdom of God. To receive them, we need to be teachable. Prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Discerning of spirits comes along with a teachable spirit. To be able to walk in and go, ooh, there's some wacky thing going on here. Something doesn't feel right. And then in the wisdom of God, declare it again. Declare against it, whatever it might be. Healing, even what is behind the physical, comes in the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is brought to us in the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit of God in us. The Holy Spirit is the knowledge of God. It's imparted to us. He leads us to conviction, to change. That's how we get saved in the first place, right? We accept Him because we are convicted by the Holy Spirit. Even though we don't get it all, we may not fully understand what's going on, but we know this Jesus did something for me. He did something special for me, and He loves it. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking into us. It's the truth of God revealed. And it can come through others as well. You ever been in a situation when somebody speaks something? They may not even realize it was prophetic in one way or another. And all of a sudden, something inside you goes, whoa, oh my gosh, what you just said confirmed this. Or this just jumped out at me. So many times. That's the Holy Spirit revealing truth. When something just clicks like that, even if the other person doesn't recognize that that's what they were doing. God comes through, and you will be able to receive through a teachable spirit. John 1, 2 through 27 says this, but the anointing which you have received of him stays in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. When his spirit is in you, you'll know the truth. When somebody tries to tell you something that is not scripture, if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you're going to be like, uh-uh, I'm not sure this is right. Let me go test it out. I pray you test out what I share with you in the pulpit every Sunday. Don't ever take everything word for word. I've made mistakes because I'm human. I pray and I seek him and I search his heart and his word the best that I can to prepare for what is presented every week. But it's not always going to be perfect. Especially when I stray from my notes. Or it might not come out right. What my mind is thinking may not come out with my words. So test it. Make sure it's right. And the final thing about a teachable spirit is it's an honoring spirit. And this is big, and I really believe this is something that not many churches really talk about even. And it has to do with that culture of honor. Honoring those who are spiritual mothers and fathers to us, even big brothers and sisters, from a spiritual sense. And let me stress this, age, physical age, has nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. It's recognizing that I am being fed spiritually from this person. So I receive them and I honor them for what they are doing. I honor God first, but in honoring God, I'm respecting and honoring them. But then that's part of that whole culture of honor that we want to instill in this church. Honoring those in the faith that feed you spiritually. I mean, one of the things that years ago when I first started in the ministry, I'd be asked to, you know, go and share something to a bunch of pastors. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, I'm like 25, 26, 27 years old. I'm looking at this person who's been pastoring their church for 15 years, this person who's, you know, 70-some years old that's been pastoring for 50 years, and that person, I'm going, what the heck am I doing up here? Who am I to tell these guys, share with them anything? You know, they should be sharing with me. What do I know? I'm just a 25, 26, 27-year-old who, you know, barely learning, doing his very best, and these guys are seasoned pastors. Well, Lord had to teach me something over time, that age has nothing to do with it. Same thing with a lot of, not recently, but in the past, some of the struggles we've had in this church where some of the older women refused to allow themselves to be humble enough to be taught by some of the younger women, or the older men taught by some of the younger men. It's not like that anymore because we're building this culture of honor. But if someone has been given a word, is feeding you, you honor them. I'll be honest with you. You know who I honor that feeds me? I honor the PAYS team because I've learned so much from them regarding elements of ministry. Having Levi stay in with us, he's fed me. He's taught me things. I've learned a lot from Bobby Jr. in the messages that you've preached. I'm 26 years plus, they're older. But I'm being fed by them, and I honor and respect the work they are doing. You know who else has taught me some things about a servant's heart? Josh, little Josh. I honor that in them. Culture of honor. This is Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Being an elder has nothing to do with age, physical age. It's spiritual maturity. Eldership is someone who pours into me. 1 Timothy 4:11 and 12. These things command and teach. Take heed to your ministry. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Let no one despise your youth. For us, I'm going to change it. Let no one despise your age. But be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Being a teachable spirit, a person who is teachable, you honor those who are teaching you. You honor those, you respect, you are able to learn. If I ever say, Bobby's 22, right? Bobby's 22 years old. What is he going to teach me? My pride just got in the way. And Lord can't show me that moment, that time, that day, what he wants to pour into me. And guess what? Until I repent of that, I'm not going to be able to learn everything God wants to show me. Because God hates pride. We just read that. So I need to repent of that pride so my heart can go from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, as the word says, to be receptive to God. So these are the things we want to grow as a church in and instill in one another. Stay humble. Stay a learner. You've been built with a capacity to learn. Stay kingdom-minded. Stay open to the Holy Spirit. And stay honoring anyone and everyone who pours into you the things of God. Whether it's through prophetic, through message, through word, through love, through action. Honor them. Love on them. Because we're never too young or too old to learn. Or know too much to learn. Only thing we can do is be too prideful to learn. So Lord, right now we just ask, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. And we just ask you to bring, Lord God, us to that place where we will receive from you, that our pride is at your feet. Right now, would you stand with me as we just kind of get into his presence? And I want you to just take a few moments where you are and let this time be between you and God. As I shared, you know, I had to learn that when I start to get tense and clam up, it's my pride getting in the way of hearing what God may have for me to be teachable. And I have to repent of that. If you're struggling with that right now, I want you to just go before the Lord and just simply say, Lord, forgive me for my pride, for not being teachable and receiving what you've been trying to show me. I repent of that. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you fill me with a teachable spirit, a spirit to receive from you and from your children, from your people. I'm going to ask right now if you would just get together in groups of three or four. Please, no more than four. Let's keep them small. Three or four. and just pray for one another. Nobody has to confess if they don't want to anything. Just pray for one another to stay humble, to be a sponge that just soaks up the things of God. So if you can play some soft music, and if you would all just break up into small groups, no more than four people, just with those around you. Nobody should be alone. Please graft someone in. If you guys up at the balcony can also get together and just pray together as a body to receive what God has for all of us. Yeah, Lord.